Okay, so now we're recording now.
Okay.
So at some point we should come up with an intro.
Yeah, I guess.
That'll be for future. No, I have this dream. I want to get somebody to do an impression of the old the guy who did the movie trailers but is dead now.
Oh.
I don't want to do like in a world where every freaking person already has a podcast. Two boring white guys say me too. Sure. Why not?
Yeah, that would be a great bumper.
Yes.
A little music, maybe.
That's going to be you. Anyway, hi, people. This is Tony and William, and this is the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, episode 1. The very first episode of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And it's Magical Talking Hat. Not Magical Talking Hat.
Yeah, maybe we should get that out of the way quick, but first I need to do the disclaimer here. The following podcast will be explicit. It will also not be funny, and will probably offend a lot of people. I made a list. Okay, Brian, don't let the kids hear this. Stu, you probably should not tell your wife. And Sarah, you should probably stop listening right now. It's just going to be better that way.
Mostly because of Tony.
All because of Tony. Okay. Yeah, because it's all going to come down to me. And I'd also, I would like to demonstrate the explicit tag a la the King's Speech. So I'm going to start, I'm going to say, fuck. Fuck. We're still in PG-13 here. Harvey Weinstein could get this done for PG-13 now.
Oh.
But I said, fuck. And now we're in R-rated. So it's over.
Because you said it 3 times.
Because, yeah.
I see.
That's what's happening with the King's Speech.
Really?
Yeah, the King's Speech is R-rated, and Harvey fucking Weinstein decided that the reason the kids aren't going is because kids love movies about English kings with speech impediments, but they hate the fact that they can't get into R-rated movies without sneaking in or something.
Oh.
Anyway, he decided that what the King's Speech is missing is a PG-13 rating. And the way he's achieving it is it has 5 F-bombs in it.
Oh.
And they're muting 3 of them. And now it's going to be PG-13.
Well, that will just make profits go through the roof.
Absolutely, because everybody's like, well, now.
Yeah.
Like, now it's English King speech impediment film for the whole family.
I know the teenagers I live with are just...
Absolutely.
They were very upset with the R rating on that.
And especially because they don't want to see... Teenagers don't want to see R-rated movies.
Well, no.
They're like, no, that would not be proper. So, yeah. No, so that's what's happening. So, I think AV Club was like, for those of you who think the MPAA is arbitrary and outdated, now you have mathematical evidence. Like, 2 fucks, PG-13. 5 fucks, R.
Wow.
Anyway, but no. This is the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. It has absolutely nothing to do with the Sorting Hat and Harry Potter, so get that shit out of your head right now. It mostly is due to the fact that William and I have felt that our message is not being brought very easily to the homeless population.
Yeah.
So we thought, you know, homeless, transient, mobile devices. So maybe a podcast was a better format. And, then we found out that most homeless people don't have iPods.
Which was real. We couldn't believe it.
No. Cause we're really, really dumb. As we intend to prove. No. But so instead we came up with this weak premise. I mean, sorry, this magic hat. We found this magic hat and I can't even say this sounded better in my head because I've talked with you about this and it sounded better then, but suddenly knowing I'm being recorded. We have this hat that can check its own email. It's a very impressive hat. It defies description, literally.
Yeah.
But it can check its own email, and so people email the hat with things to talk about, and we draw out of the hat these things, and we'll talk about them until we get bored. Oh, man, I had low like expectations for this, and just as it's coming out of my mouth I'm like, this is a terrible... Further disclaimer, people, nobody should ever listen to this. and this is, we're gonna die in flames,
which might be why,
but
they will.
But I'm hoping I'm hoping it's got that train wreck feel that will just make people watch.
That's the only reason anyone ever listens to anything we say.
It mostly comes down to, I'm doing this because I've been listening to some very cool podcasts that are very sort of amateur-based, like people with a microphone and a laptop just talking about stuff that interests them. And two things really were coming home from this. And one, I'm like, this is really entertaining. And the other is, I could totally do this. And
he had the hat.
And I had, well, the hat, yes, the hat came around. But
so.
But the thing is, and I'm going to ask you as to why, because I'm not really sure why you're doing this. Because traditionally, I come up with these brilliant ideas. I'm like that one stoner friend. And I come up with these great ideas, and the next day, I've just forgotten about them and not doing anything. But this one didn't go away. And William is the guy that every time I come up with these brilliant ideas of, you know, like guitars that are double guitars or shit like that, William's like, yeah, we should totally do that. And I always assumed it was just because he knew, like, it was never going to happen. But he's backing me up on this one, and I don't explain to the listening audience what's singular of audience. Like one person.
I think it's just
explain audience. To the listener.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why you're doing this?
Oh, because I like hats.
It's about the hat?
Yeah, it's a cool hat. I mean, what other hat can check its own email and then tell you what to talk about? Really?
I don't know. You know, when you said there was going to be an issue because you're not funny,
oh,
I didn't.
Well, I just thought, well, that was fair warning. You know,
yeah,
I told
yeah,
you,
no,
I
yeah,
said,
absolutely.
I said, if you're looking for a partner in this who will be a humorous, well, I'm probably the
but
right
if,
guy.
But if you want a Canadian.
Yeah. And who's not from Canada.
Yeah, for the record, William is not Canadian, but he thought.
No,
you explain.
I suppose the reason I agree. Well, first of all, because we're friends and I like to work with you on projects. We've worked on a few things before. And, you know, you helped me with some of my projects, you know, for nothing. So it seems only fair that you have a project. You need some help. Okay, great.
Oh, I was gonna pay you, but okay.
Crap! I always mess that up.
I had to get my Mountain Dew on, because I don't know what it is. It is now. By the way, happy St. Patrick's Day, Irish green beer drinkers. It's now Thursday, and Spring Forward is still kicking my ass.
Boy, I heard that.
I don't know what. Like, I just have been sleepwalking through every day since then, so I don't know. I'm a little angry
at the people who
apparently have been... at Obama. People have been trying to convince me it's daylight savings is Obama's fault.
Why?
I don't know. I think it has something to do with it happened earlier than it used to, and that's something he did. I don't know. Like, it's maybe it's a Kenyan conspiracy. It's at the point now where I just shrug it off whenever I complain about something and they're like, yeah, Obama. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. It's Obama.
Well, I hadn't even heard that theory.
Yeah, I don't even remember who gave that to me.
See, that's another valuable thing I bring to this is I'm so clueless about everything. See, I come into this, you know, you've got the buzz, you've read the news, you've heard what people say. I come in here. It's like I come from a different dimension or time or from a jar or something because I never know what's going on.
That is true. My William theory is along these lines. I have this concept. William, for those of you who don't know, which is probably all of you. I have this theory. William's a great guy, but here's the thing. William defies any trend or generalization. You could say anything about... You could say, like, all people do X. And unless you're specifically referring to William, he doesn't count. Because frequently I try and explain things to him, and I'm like, dude, everybody does whatever. He's like, I don't. And I'm like, that's because you're William.
But that's not true. I mean, I know a lot of people who have the same opinions or the same practices that I do. Although I will grant this, that if you go back 100 years, you're going to find more people like that, probably.
Really?
Find now. Well, yeah, sure.
So you're sort of Victorian.
Well, okay, like...
In
like,
your way.
Like alcohol. You know, if you went back 100 years, you would find a lot of people who are teetotalers. That wouldn't be that unusual.
Well, yeah, because it's like right before Prohibition was enacted, so...
Well, whatever the reason...
You're cheating.
The point is, it wasn't that unusual not that long ago.
I suppose. Yes, William doesn't drink, by the way. I do, and I really feel like I should be drinking. I may bring beer to the podcast in the future, because I feel like I should be drinking while this is happening. But I'm not today because I'm already really tired. So this
loosens you up some, make you know, removes the inhibitions kind of thing, or what's up with that?
I don't know. Some people, when they drink, they feel that they need to smoke cigarettes, and they're like, I don't smoke any other time but when I'm drinking. When I'm being recorded by any sort of medium, I feel like I should be drunk. It's just a thing. I don't know.
Maybe your audience agrees. I don't know.
Oh, but see, we'll have to ask him.
But the rare thing isn't that I don't drink. The rare thing is that I've never drank. I mean, that's the key. And that's what I'm saying. Yes. If you go back 100 years ago, you would find a lot of people who didn't. I mean, because it was, I don't know.
And I still maintain that it's, aren't we like 92 years since Prohibition or something?
Okay, but so what? It's not that big a deal.
Oh, by the way, if you're getting weird background noise, there are three cats that are just wandering around.
Trying to vie for our
attention. So be prepared for that. Also, I'm not editing this at all because I don't want to.
It's principle. He's a principled guy.
Yes. I'm determined not to do stuff. Okay, anyway. It's good radio. So, that's sort of why we're doing this. And because I saw... Okay, here's the real thing. Have any of you, when you were kids, and I don't think this is just me, I don't think you did this, but I've talked to other people, and I don't think I'm the only one, but I did this with my friends and with my cousin. You'd get a tape recorder, and you put in a blank tape, and you'd hit record, and you would do like a fake radio show or a fake talk show.
Right. Yeah, we did that. In fact, the tapes still exist. I hope they never come to be heard, but yes, the tapes still exist that we did.
Every once in a while, I would find... And the thing is, you would do this... And then what did you do with the tape?
Oh, you listened to it.
Yeah,
and
laughed at how great. And you're like, we sound like fucking dork. But it's not like you passed it around
school.
Like maybe you'd go downstairs and be like, Mom, don't we sound funny?
Yeah.
Until you're old enough to swear, which William also doesn't do. But anyway.
There was no YouTube kind of thing.
Yes, you just exactly.
This crap out there.
And so I'm really hoping that this is going to, this appeals, excuse me.
Bless you.
To the, bless.
Well, just in case. I don't know.
I've never heard anybody say bless you when somebody burped.
I do sometimes. It just seems polite.
It is that. Anyway, I'm hoping this really appeals to the part of me that did that. So kind of as long as it's fun, I'm going to keep doing this. But I'm really lazy. So I'm warning anyone who's listening right now, do not make this tough for me. If, like, you guys make this show popular, so I have to buy more bandwidth and shit, I am out.
It's also a good excuse for Tony and I to hang out.
Or if, like, you don't get a good that's true, too.
Opportunity to do that.
If you, like, send a lot of feedback and make it popular and get interested in it, I'm done. So, don't... I think I'm saying don't listen.
He's also a liar.
Oh, was that not in the disclaimer?
No, you didn't mention that.
The following program, I'm totally full of lies, like, the whole time.
More than likely. The probability is very high.
Yeah, then, yes.
Like, just now.
I'm not commenting on that. I might be telling the truth. I don't like doing stuff, but...
Well, that's true.
See?
But, you know, well, just keep listening and, or as he said, not, whatever. And you'll figure it out. Everybody does.
Dude, no radio station is going to hire us to do their morning with this audition tape. This sucks.
Well,
we are the worst morning DJs ever.
Okay.
You don't even have sound effects.
I can deal with that.
Okay, anyway. So, William.
Yes.
Yeah, he's right. This does give us a chance to hang out. We see each other like once every... Who are you again?
Look it up. I'm on Facebook.
Okay, but not very often. We don't see each other very often. And no. Now, theoretically, we'll see each other once a week. Yes, we are going to attempt the fabled once-a-week podcast, which is so rare and so apparently difficult to maintain. I'm not worried because there's no prep. Because we don't really have anything. So
yeah,
it should work out fine.
Pretty low budget.
If you want to participate in the show, which is key... You need to email the hat. The hat can be reached at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Don't forget the and don't forget the all. And then you email the hat and the magical.
Magical.
Yes. If you email themagictalkinghat@gmail.com, it's this other guy. He's a neo-Nazi, and he's an asshole. So don't email him. I should buy that one, too, and just, like, respond to people. It's like, shut up. Stop sending me your topics. White power. Oh, my God. I'm going to do that now. I'm going to buy that. And, like, for people who accidentally do it, I'm going to, like, send fake neo-Nazi emails.
That's a pretty good idea. And actually, now that it's on, it's been recorded, that can remind you whenever you listen to this.
Yes.
To go do that.
As I will over and over again.
Noted.
Every noted. Time I'll be like, oh yeah, I need to start pretending to be that neo-Nazi. Anyway, but the real premise of this show is that I want it to be listener-driven. Yes, I'm aware of the irony. But the point is... People who listen to this show, or I suppose people who don't, can email the hat with whatever sort of topic they want. They can be questions, they can be items for discussion, and I mean, they can be serious questions, like, you know, like, what do you think of the state of, I don't even know. They can be, like, stupid, you know, like, oh, what's your favorite color? Or, you know, if you were a tree, what tree would you be? Or whatever, crap like that. They can be topics, like, oh, discuss... the various Star Trek captains and their pros and cons. Whatever it is. And I'm hoping that we may find something very interesting here if the very content of the show is determined by the listeners.
Keeping in mind, though, that if we draw something out of the hat, you know, the hat gives us a topic, there's a good chance that it'll just get us talking about something completely.
Yes. We reserve the right to do whatever the fuck we want. And also bear in mind, William and I both are kind of nerds, so there may be more of a tendency for us to latch on to nerdier topics, but we'll have to see. Okay, so at this point, we've been going for about not quite 17 and a half minutes.
Wow.
Yeah,
Do you think people are still listening?
It's, you know, it's not live.
Well, I mean, if they're listening to it, do you think they're continued listening, or do you think maybe they said, you know what, I'm not going to listen to it?
I don't know. The timing on this is partially because I recently joined Facebook, and apparently I'm like the last person to join Facebook. And so, like, friends from high school and college and everywhere are like, oh my God, you're finally here. And they're so happy because back when I was young, I was really fun and interesting and drank and smoked a lot, which may have had something to do with it. But now I'm really, really not. I'm just a sad loser.
You don't think you're fun or interesting? Or?
Not at all. Oh. And
is that why we're friends? Because I'm also not fun and interesting?
Wow.
Oh, no.
Way to back me into
now,
a corner
now
here.
Now he doesn't want to ever speak to me again.
I wasn't going to say that, but yes, William, please.
I am a social barometer.
I thank you for showing me the light. Really, this isn't working.
This
you
is
should
a
bit go.
Depressing now.
No. Welcome to the sad podcast where we hang out. If you said no, but so what I'm hoping is I'm going to use all that like goodwill generated on Facebook by these people who don't know what a shithead I've turned into, and I'm going to say listen to a podcast and share it with your friends. And by the time they realize. Which we're now at about 19 minutes, so maybe they figured it out. Hopefully they've passed it on to friends who pass it on to friends so that eventually, like, some drunk frat boys will be like, yeah, this guy's funny.
Why not?
And so then we'll have some sort of audience that way. Although you could do some promoting. Have you been doing any promoting of this at all?
I intend to.
Well,
you know, once there's something...
You thought I was going to give up, didn't you?
Well,
you were like, he's bailing any second now.
I just didn't know... When there was something to promote, then I would.
Sometime we'll do the list of failed Phantom projects from Tony.
Failed. I wouldn't put it that way. They're still pending, really.
Yeah, but you had to remind me of something I didn't even remember I had. That's pretty pending.
I'll remember.
Anyway, okay. Normally I would like to do a little like check in, you know, how you do it kind of thing of that. But seeing as we've now killed almost 20 minutes.
Pretty effortlessly, I'd say.
Yes. Maybe we should get to that because I did work really hard at bugging people to email the hat already so that we would have some topics. But hopefully we'll have more in the future. Because they are randomly drawn from the hat and the hat produces them, you can't ever send too many. Because they'll just be more in the hat. So feel free. So really, you know, interesting or not, or stupid or not, or serious or not, you can send whatever. But anyway, we'll talk more about that later. Would you like to draw the first...
I would be honored.
...topic out of there?
This is auspicious.
Very much so.
If I can use we a need, word like
we
that.
We should have some music.
And shall I read?
Well... what? No, wait, no, wait. Just keep it to yourself.
No, wait, but there's a name here. Do I read the name too?
I would, you know, I'm not the hat, but I would presume that, yes, the hat only puts the names when they're told to put the names.
All right. What is the opening line of a conversation when you're trapped in an elevator with people you don't know? Jen wants to know this.
Jen, okay. The opening line of a conversation when you're trapped in an elevator with people you don't know.
This is practical advice, I think.
Yes. Well, I would assume. Like, yeah, I'm hoping it's not a riddle and next week she'll send us the punchline. I actually have one that can't fail.
Yeah.
It's great for the... You kind of look at them and you narrow your nose, or not narrow your nose, narrow your eyes a little bit and sort of wrinkle up your nose and then you go, was that you?
Well, that...
Like, it is a great icebreaker.
And it breaks the ice and people start talking. Or no.
Oh, well, no.
They just get more comfortable with each other.
They tend to move away from me, but like...
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It takes care of things right away. I mean, I don't know. Have you had this happen?
Where I'm in an elevator and it's uncomfortable, of course.
And people you don't know, do you say anything?
Absolutely not. No. I mean, I think there's like some cultural prohibition, really, about it. I mean, and if I were going to say something, it would probably... be something like that, not anything really to start conversation, but just to see how people would react if I said it, you know, like if I didn't know anyone and I was just standing in there, I just wanted to see how they would react. I might say something like, just so y'all know, the rash is completely cleared up.
You would not. You would never say that. I would give you a dollar if you would say that in a crowded elevator.
It would be funny to see what they would do.
Yes. No, I mean, I have done this, but it's usually like, because it's awkward, and it only really ever comes up if you're at some sort of function where, like, everybody is coming back from it to the parking garage, and so everybody's together, and it's or at the mall if it's really busy that day or whatever, and it's always just really inane. Usually it's about the floors, so it's always like, yep, coming up to number three. Here we go. Or like, because, you know, that's the bit you do say. You're like, oh, what floor? And like, and so they'll be like, yeah, I'm on four. Yeah, me too. I'm like, hey, a lot of us are on four. And it's not a particularly good icebreaker.
I'm trying to think of a time.
Although everyone laughs, but with that same sort of tense awkwardness that I have when I say it.
I think it's always kind of an okay thing to maybe admire what someone's wearing, or
really,
or a perfume someone's wearing.
Really,
sure. Why not?
I always think that's where you get into creepy guys.
Oh well, maybe. I mean, the fact of the matter is, probably the biggest.
I mean, I guess it depends on your delivery.
Like, yeah.
You smell nice.
Yeah, not quite like
that. Less so, but no. Just when you say that, I'm like, wasn't this a Seinfeld episode? Like, I can see this. I'm like, George did something, and then he got thrown out of the elevator.
Well, I think the only reason, well, not the only reason, but probably the biggest reason that I don't say anything to strangers on an elevator is precisely because of that. Because you don't know, you know, maybe they'll be put off by it, or, you know, you don't want to make them uncomfortable or put them on the spot.
Well, is this unique to elevators? Because the thing is, I strike up conversations with strangers all the time.
Well, no, of course it's not unique to elevators. On subway trains, a lot of times, any time people are in an enclosed space, you know, where they're very close, that creates a sort of, in our culture anyway, when I say our culture, I mean American culture, it creates a natural sort of discomfort, and people don't know what to do with it.
But doesn't that mean you, I mean, to me that would be encouraging, then you should talk and make people feel better. But I usually don't, because to me it's like, it's not fair. Because, like, I will talk to strangers anywhere, but normally, like, they can leave.
Right.
It's like, I don't begrudge anyone to find my conversation really annoying, and so they could just leave. But if you're trapped in an elevator or something, unless you're going to, like, climb out the roof.
But you see, that is part of the discomfort, is they can't leave, you see? And that's, and the fact is, the easiest thing to do, the path of least resistance, is to sort of share in a kind of corporate denial. You know, that you're even in this enclosed space, that anyone else really exists. Because after all, it's only going to be for a little period of time, right? You're going to get to your floor, everyone's going to go, or you're going to get to your station, everyone's going to leave. And so the easiest thing to do is just to pretend the discomfort isn't there, because if anyone tries to break the ice, well, it's going to be perceived as breaking the ice. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's going to acknowledge the ice's existence, basically. And nobody wants to do that.
I love the way you explain this, though, because it's like what's best to do is just get in the elevator and go to your happy place.
Well, I'm not saying that's what's best. I'm saying there's a reason people tend to do that.
I know, but I just see like 8 different people getting on an elevator and then the doors closed and they all put their hands over their ears and go, la, 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 la.
Well,
la, la.
Actually, how is that any different than you realize that one of the reasons that people rushed to get things like, you know, those little MP3 players and stuff was because that's what that does.
Yeah,
you stick
yeah,
them,
yeah, yeah.
Sticks these things in their ears.
And I admit I do that at work too. But
well, so in a way they do. It's just what you said.
No. What I think I'm saying is now you've made me more scared to ride on elevators with strangers, because it's like before, I just thought, you know, oh, people are awkward around strangers, and now I'm like, we're all in this shared delusion that we're not imprisoned. And if I make a noise, we're all going to see the bars.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh my God. Like, the Matrix falls away as soon as anybody's like, oh, hey.
Well, but, and you don't know how people are going to react, and that's part of
no,
it.
No.
Because certainly people could be very personable and very glad that someone, as you say, broke the ice. But some people would be, you know, almost offended. Like, look, what's your deal? You know?
I do it at work some. I do it, like, you know, I'll talk with people if there's, like, one person. But then, like, I love this because there were people in a building I used to work, the women in the basement, like, it was that thing. Like, in that particular apartment, there were all these, like, little old ladies. I say old. They weren't all, like, old. But, you know, you've seen those groups of ladies. And, like, and they all get in the elevator together because coffee's up on the top floor.
Sure.
So they're all getting, sure. And one time I got in on the middle floor. And the doors open, and I can hear them beforehand. And the doors open, and suddenly it's like dead silence.
Because you walked.
Because I hadn't even walked in yet. Just the doors open. And so I step in, and the doors close, and nobody's talking. And so I try to break the ice, and I'm like, wow, a lot of people going to get coffee, huh? And you know what happened?
What happened?
They all, on top of each other, like interrupting each other to tell me, corrected me disdainfully how one was going for water and one just wanted tea. And I was just like, oh my God, I should not have breathed or spoken. And so seriously, like, I just sort of stayed by the door. And when it opened, I literally, like, didn't even turn around. I just took a step back out the door and went on my business.
Well, that's an interesting phenomenon there, where people are already visiting, they already know each other. And then one person, just a single person who they don't know or who they aren't comfortable with, comes in, and there's almost this feeling like, you just invaded our private conversation.
And I think that's the thing. Because when I think about the good times I've had with strangers, it's all like one-on-one in there. And like we're both awkward, like, ah. And nobody has like the high ground because, you know, if you outnumber. And I've done that too. When I'm in a group of people, like pointedly sort of like continuing my conversation, even though somebody's not there. And I feel like I'm just being, like, the smug asshole and, like, rubbing your nose and, like, haha, I have friends here, and you're alone. And this may not be an interesting topic to you, but too bad, because we're going to talk about it.
Well, and then there's also, you're with friends, you know, everybody knows you, but someone comes in who's a stranger, and then you can initiate conversation with them.
That could be, hello, yeah. Welcome to Fantasy Elevator. I am your host, Mr. Roar.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes people do that. Sometimes people
do not.
Sometimes they do. Certainly, I've done that where especially, I mean, I come from a fairly large family, so a lot of times if I'm out with my family and there's a whole bunch of us in the elevator and like two people or one person comes in and we're all together talking and, you know, it's like, well, this person's going to feel uncomfortable, so I'll say something.
Give them a little hug.
Well, no, but...
Hey, my name's Billy.
Just so they don't feel uncomfortable. And it's one of those situations where you know, unlike the situation where, say, I come in or I know everyone's a stranger in there, where it's hard to tell if saying something's going to actually upset people, this is likely not going to do that. The person feels uncomfortable. They realize that everybody else doesn't feel that way. So maybe it'll, you know, it'll help. And usually they're very positive, you know, about it. I don't know.
I'm going to have to think more seriously now when I step into elevators.
It's a complicated question, really.
It really is, and I didn't expect it to be, and I'm a little disconcerted.
Why?
Because I'm going to be second-guessing myself the next time I ride on an elevator. But I do think we should go on pull another one out of the hat.
Okay. I don't think
you want to revisit the
I don't elevator. Think Jen will be happy with our answer, because I don't think, you know, I think she wanted a toolbox.
This is the Magical Talking Hat podcast. No one is happy. Ever.
I didn't know that was one of the rules.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a rule so much as just a descriptor. it's not that we plan it, but no one is ever happy.
The hat makes a distinctive shuffling sound while it's deciding what it's going to say.
It might not in future weeks. Don't give it away.
Oh.
Okay. Ah. Interesting. This one's actually done like a letter. Dear Magical Talking Hat.
Oh, that was polite.
How did you get your magical powers? Could I become magical too? Signed, Tony's wife.
Wait, is that really your wife that wrote that, do you think? Or
I
some other Tony?
I really hope so. Or do you think, just like,
could be
another it's
Tony
Danza's wife.
Well, maybe.
That would be awesome. I think it's my...
Or something, though.
I didn't know if he was actually married.
Oh.
Have you seen that show?
What show?
You didn't see this?
No. He has a new show?
No, he doesn't anymore, I don't think. He had a reality show.
Oh, no. I didn't know anything about that.
Here's the premise. It's the best show ever. Take Tony Danza.
Okay.
And replace your existing, experienced, competent high school English teacher with Tony Danza. And that's it.
English teacher?
Yes.
But why? I mean, why English teacher? Why not math teacher or science teacher? That would probably be funny.
I don't know. But it's not a sitcom.
Oh, okay. Well,
no,
yeah,
this is a reality show.
Okay.
Children attempting to learn, they were like, hey, you know what would be awesome? We've secretly replaced your actual teacher with Tony fucking Danza.
Yeah, I wouldn't think parents would be signing up for that. The kids might think it's okay.
Some might. Well, and I see, as with most stuff like this, I only know from clips from The Soup, but it was just all sorts of, like, every clip I ever saw was just, like, kids saying, like, Tony fucking Danza doesn't know how to teach, and Tony Danza being like, oh, God, this is so tough, and, like, scenes of him, like, in the principal's office, and them, like, you don't know what the hell you're doing, like, politely and stuff. It was just a mess.
I think he
officially, like, either has or got enough credentials that he was technically qualified, but it's still Tony fucking Danza as a high school teacher.
I don't know how you could really mess up teaching, well, really anything, but English especially. I mean, because there's curriculums and there's, you know, I mean, how can you mess it up? I mean, what was he doing?
I don't know. I didn't actually watch the show, but
it's
high school. I mean...
I can't even imagine what the pitch was.
So you never had any classes in high school where the teachers, like, sucked and you didn't really learn?
Well, I suppose so. But, I mean, nothing that would land them in the principal's office talking to the principal, telling them they don't know what they're doing. Or
Well, they said it nicer. Let me say it another way.
I never had a teacher who had the kind of problem that would make an interesting reality TV show. Let me put it that way.
Oh, I didn't say it was interesting.
It would be kind of interesting if he was getting in that kind of trouble for what, I don't know. I mean,
I don't think it was that interesting. I mean, as evidenced by the fact I didn't watch it, but I just thought it was, I just found it just frightening that they did it.
Okay.
That I'm like, anytime you take kids, like with grown-ups and a reality TV show, I'm like, you know what? They're adults. They can do whatever stupid shit they want. When you take children,
mm-hmm.
it always kind of freaks me out. And I know they're high school kids, but it's still, I'm like, you know, you're screwing with their education for a TV show.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's not as scary as, like, Kid Town or whatever the hell that thing was.
I don't know what that is.
They had a reality show that was they went to this, they found this abandoned Wild West town, and they put a bunch of kids there, and no adults, and filmed it.
Really?
Yes. And what is awesome about this is, like, 3 years prior, Jamie Kennedy, in his hidden camera show, did a fake thing where they brought in parents and they tried to sell them on the concept of Kid Island. And, like, to see if, like, parents would fall for it. But it was a joke because it was horrible and ridiculous.
Yeah.
3 years later, they did it.
Jeez.
Yes.
And there were no, like, legal ramifications? Or, I mean, how did that...
They had to sign a lot of shit beforehand. Huh. I still think people tried to sue, but it got weird.
Well, how did it go?
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need to audition... individuals who actually watch pop culture. I hear about it, and of course William's in his little soundproof booth.
Yeah, I don't know.
But what was the question?
The question was if I can recall,
how'd the hag get the magical powers?
Yeah, how
we don't know.
No, we don't know that.
We're still looking into the history on the hat, but we certainly don't know how it became magic.
It is a mystery.
And my wife wants to get magical powers. Was that the other part? Could I become magical too? Yes, baby, you could. And in fact, baby, you're already magical to me. Don't laugh. It's ruining my romantic moment.
Awkward. But I'm
especially because she's literally in the other room.
And I'm sitting right here. It just seems a little... Okay, whatever.
You're magic to me too, William.
Okay, we don't have... Let's not talk about that on the air. No, but...
If not now, when? You never want to talk about it.
Oh, my okay, God. Yeah. I really want to do this right now.
Why won't you acknowledge your baby? Sorry.
Because it's a cat! Anyway. Well, but probably not magical in the same way that the hat is.
She can't have an email account?
Well, but that's not magical if she has one. You know, for a hat to have one and answer it, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, what other hat do you know that can do that? But lots.
None. That's the whole point.
Lots of people can.
Yes.
So yes, magical in all the ways that she is magical to you, which we don't need to mention.
Why do birds? No, we can't. They'll sue us. Never mind.
But no, not quite in the way that the hat is. Okay. Although we don't know the whole story of the hat. It is a mystery that we are examining and may reveal more about that
excuse
later.
Excuse me.
That wasn't the hat. The hat doesn't.
You didn't say bless you.
I just needed to make sure they knew the hat didn't do it.
The hat did not burp. That would be too much magic.
Yeah. It's not quite that magical.
Oh, this is such a horrible premise. Why is it suddenly like we talk like about it. This for weeks and then
it.
Suddenly knowing it's being recorded, I'm like, oh my God.
Because
this is the most stupid, fucked up
That's
thing.
The way you are. I think, and see, I have the exact opposite. I love it. I think it's awesome. But that's the way we are.
So. Uh-oh, we're so different. That's what makes it a fun show.
Dun, dun, okay.
Draw, oh, God.
Dun,
dun, we can't dun, afford that dun, either. Dun, okay, draw another dun, thing out of the hat.
Okay.
What does it say?
Drawn. Let's see. From Useless Trivia Man.
Oh, I know Useless Trivia Man.
Oh. I don't know.
He is somebody who hangs out on some forums where I hang out.
Oh, well, how nice.
Yes.
Hello to Useless Trivia Man. Was the Discovery Channel show Gold Rush Alaska actually put on TV just so Joel McHale could make fun of it on The Soup?
Oh my God, yes. You don't know this show, do you?
Well, The Soup used to be Talk Soup, yeah?
Sort of. But oh. Yeah, The Soup is a beautiful show for those who don't watch. It's on E! Every Friday. And it basically shows you all the hilarious things that have happened on horrible television. But just the hilarious parts, so that then you can avoid the rest of the show. So, like, when, you know, for every reality TV show that has, like, that 1 5-second really hilarious bit and the rest of it is just horror that makes you sad to be human, like, you can just see the 5-second bit.
Well, and a lot of times it's unintentionally hilarious.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's supposed to be...
But this show, Gold Rush Alaska, I don't know how to explain this.
You know, I've just realized that we could get sponsors since we're talking about all these shows. Since I don't know them. You have to describe them and say when they're on.
Well, William, this is an awesome thing. Yes,
it's
you
like
should
we're
watch.
Promoting these shows.
Yeah, I think we have a bigger budget than the soup, so I don't think they can afford to sponsor us.
Oh.
No, but Cold Rush Alaska was a reality show about attempting to find gold in Alaska.
Mm.
The season was particularly about attempting to find a glory hole.
You're making that up.
No. That's what they call it.
You put the disclaimer at the beginning of this and you use the F word and now you're just
I swear to God.
I'm just going to go off the hip.
No, 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 no. It's so true though. Like, it's a thing where like waterfalls made like a depression in the ground and there's gold down there. And apparently compared to like the entire rest of the planet, it's like an easier place to find gold. And I swear to fucking God, they call it a glory hole. And the main guy in this group is named Jack Hoffman. And the whole show is them talking about finding the glory hole and these old grizzled prospector guys being like, and I was down in the glory hole and oh my God. And the stuff coming out of there was just perfect, man. It was thick. It was wet. It was wonderful. And like the whole show is all about the show is just a giant euphemism and they appear to have no idea that of any of this.
Uh-huh.
And so the soup like literally hardly had to edit. They would just seriously just show chunks of the show constantly and they're like, we don't even have a joke. It's like Jack Hoffman spent several tense hours in the glory hole and shit like this, like constantly. So yes, Useless Trivia Man, yes, it was simply created for the soup. And in retrospect, I didn't see the show. I suspect the show is fake. Well, okay, I'll tell you this. It's either the worst reality TV show ever or the most brilliant comedy show ever. And I don't know which. Like, it depends on the level of irony.
And you're completely on the level about everything
I am
said.
Not making up any... Like, look it up. Like, this
I don't
is...
want to look it up. That's my whole point. I want to avoid this.
It's all these
fun.
Grizzled old guys. Like, yeah. Hey, he was down in the glory hole there and I kept squeezing it. Like, just stuff that you're like, I don't even want to know the context. Because I know you don't mean it the way it sounds, but there's no way that that doesn't sound like anonymous old man gay sex.
So, you know, if a lot of these questions we get are centered around media, you might have to start editing these to, like, put in little clips and stuff, though. To back up the things you're saying, because no one's going to believe you.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
And honestly, fuck that.
Oh, that's right, work.
I'm not editing.
That's work. Sorry. Like, sorry, everyone.
Eventually, the best I can achieve is maybe eventually we'll do like little sock puppet displays. And like, oh, yes, I'm from this show. Yes, hello, I'm doing... You know, and that's the best I can
okay.
manage on that. But.
All right. Well, sorry about
okay.
that, everybody.
So,
I
yes.
should have remembered that.
So we hope that was helpful for you. Why am I so burpy?
I don't
probably because I ate half a pizza like right before you came over.
What the hat didn't eat its
wait,
share?
Wait, it's my turn.
Oh, no.
The hat doesn't eat. That would be
that's
ridiculous.
Right. That is your turn.
What do you mean that's my... What's
no,
my...
Yeah, that's right. I read that. And I didn't even yeah, know what I was reading. I go to Rush Alaska, John...
You said,
did I pronounce
that's right,
it right.
That is your dinner.
McHale, did I pronounce that right? McHale.
Joel McHale? Yes, yeah. You did.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, you know, Joel McHale? Have you watched Community?
Oh, yeah.
That's him.
Who?
Jeff, the,
oh.
the POV.
Oh, really?
The point of view, yeah, that's him.
Huh.
He hosts The Soup, and he's kind of an up-and-coming comedian right now.
Oh.
Doing shit.
He's really
and
tall.
Yes, he's tall. Okay, anyway, new question. Internet. So apparently she's not asking us, but the whole internet. No. Internet, is it a basic human freedom now to be available to access it?
Okay, wait. So...
Is accessing the internet now a basic human... Like a while ago, some judge decided that the basic... With the food, clothing, and shelter and stuff, that TV was in there.
Oh.
There's been some precedent for that, so I guess she's saying... This is from Jen, by the way, who already answered one. Jen, thank you for being such a strong contributor.
Yes.
Or at least the hat seems to think so.
We appreciate you very much. And the hat does, too.
So is internet now a basic human...
Well... You know, and then, of course, there are other policy decisions about that in terms of, you know, trying to provide what do I want to say, high-speed internet to rural areas and stuff like that. Like, this is something that's really important, and so on.
I think what we're asking here is, can people live without porn? And
is that what you're asking?
I couldn't.
Yes, but porn comes from a variety of sources, not just...
Not anymore.
All right.
Not in the same quantity.
We can raise the level of discourse here.
There's this one video where this girl does... No.
I think someone could make a reasonable argument... Well, I shouldn't put it that way. Because that makes it sound like someone can make a reasonable argument the other direction. I think it's an absolute fact, and it could be proven beyond any doubt, that among the list of human needs beyond food, clothing, and shelter
and TV. Is
social interaction.
Okay.
And that social interaction can take many forms, and, you know, granted, you know, the primary form of social interaction that people, I guess, ought to have is face-to-face interaction. But I suppose that if there's any other type of interaction and one section of society is enjoying it, there are benefits to be had there for this one section that are not being had by the other section. And that I suppose the philosophy is, well, that doesn't seem fair.
Well, okay, now this is going in a direction that I don't... You can make the argument with anything. I mean, we can get very sort of socialist and communist about this. Where we're like, you know, oh, you know, we all should achieve. And I think you can definitely make an argument there. Like, oh, if somebody gets the internet, everybody should have. But from the perspective of, can an individual function reliably in modern, we'll even say American society, without the internet? And well, I think at this point they still can.
Yeah, that is a very good question. And yeah, I agree they can, but...
And I certainly don't think the internet at this point is a necessity. Well, okay, insofar as they made the argument about the TV being necessary, I don't think the internet's the same thing.
Well, what was really the rationale behind the television?
I don't know.
I mean, I would say...
That otherwise you have to talk to your family, and who wants that? No, God, don't make bums talk to their family.
The internet, though, is so much more than... I mean, there's a lot of things that people use the internet for that the people who are using it or can use it, they do have a significant advantage over those who maybe cannot. They don't have access or whatever.
Yeah, don't think but so? Again, if we're talking about basic human necessity kind of thing, I don't think that's what you're going for.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't think it's trying to put them on a level footing with them. I think it's trying to make life bearable. And I say I don't think it's true now. I think it eventually will be. And actually, because like, okay, I'm a nerd, and I'm a gamer, and I'm currently running a game, a role-playing game for some friends called Shadowrun, and it's set in the future, and internet is a much bigger sort of all-inclusive thing. And they got sort of homeless, and they met up with some other family members who had been living in a city for like a month without anything. Like, they were just barely scraping by to make the rent and stuff. And one of the things was they had no access to the Matrix, which is the internet, in this thing. And it was a big thing for them. Like, they were non-functional because of this. And when the players came in and managed to get together enough money to give them access to the Matrix again, like, suddenly their lives opened up again, and suddenly they really could look for jobs, mm-hmm. because all of that was placed online, and suddenly they could apply to things and stuff like this. And it was a situation where, like, literally there was no alternative.
I see.
And I don't think we're there yet. I don't really think there's anything you can get on the internet that you can't get in other ways currently.
Well, but... Well, right, but then there are other things to think about in regard to this, too, which is, something I was thinking of while you were speaking about this was, it used to be that, today we think of, well, if you want to survive, you have to get a job. I mean, think of that concept for a second, whereas there was a time where you didn't have to get a job. I mean, you know, you could go out to where you could stake out your own piece of land and you could farm it and you could subsist by yourself and nobody was going to bother you if you did that. You know, we live in a different time.
So now, like, though. The '70s, you mean?
Well, no, much further back than of course.
Okay.
But the question, I think, it's a legitimate question to ask. Just because a culture or society evolves to a place where in practice, you have to have these things to survive. Does that mean you have to have these things to survive? Really? I mean, in a true...
Well,
you know. That's a good question, I think. That's a valid
question.
Yeah,
but I don't, it's like, okay, you have to provide this person with a flint and some sturdy boots, and then they can fucking go out into the Pacific Northwest and build their own goddamn log cabin.
Why not?
I mean,
nobody has the skills to do that anymore.
Yes, exactly. And I don't think we're yet at the point where it's like, I can't apply for a job without my Facebook. But I think we are getting there. I think we're going to get to a point where people don't know how to, and I'm not even saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but I mean, I think we're getting closer and closer to the point where the way our society functions, you won't be able to function within it without the internet.
You know, I think that's something that policymakers kind of anticipate, even as the gap, you know, real social gaps are starting to show up between people who have it and people who don't.
And I think you have to do it this way, because you, if you're a policymaker, you can't be like, well, you know, there really shouldn't be, like, you can't say, like, let's change society so that then we can change our definition of basic human needs. Like, that's sort of putting cart before horse in a big way.
So you're saying that they're properly anticipating how this is going to go, you think?
I'm saying they should. You're the one who's saying they are.
Well, maybe they are.
I don't have anybody been like.
Well,
I mean, you and I are trying to give podcasts to hobos, but I don't know that the government is doing anything.
The funny thing is, though, there's so many other things that they're so poor at, you know, projecting or doing anything about, like the healthcare crisis, for example, which, you know.
But what are they doing? Oh, you're
for 30
this
years.
Is what you're talking about, getting the high-speed internet to rural areas.
And
shit like that.
Sure. That seems like a fairly... I mean, they talk about... Well, okay. To be fair, they talked about an energy policy 30 years ago. They talked about a healthcare policy 30 years ago. Now they're talking about high-speed internet. Maybe it'll be 30 years and they'll still be talking about
It does have that election year promise feel to it.
I suppose. I'm for it.
Well, duh. Who's like, no, I don't want to.
Well, I know some people.
There are people like that, but they don't talk on this podcast.
Okay.
Or listen to this podcast.
Or talk on it.
Like,
William,
this may be a generalization that you fall into. Okay. Like, everybody wants more internet.
Okay.
Even William.
Faster internet.
By the way, if you hear a weird ringing in the background, that's because the phone is ringing in the other room, and I'm not going to get it. Because I'm all about you, listeners.
You're so important.
Yes. But my wife is going to get it, and so she's talking in there. Anyway.
Who's also important? His wife.
My wife is important. And right now sounds really, like, sexy, like Lena Horne sexy, because she's really sick.
Do you want me to continue this by myself?
No, but isn't it that great conundrum? Like, when you get really ill and stuffed up, then you get that sexy voice. Like, Barry White probably had walking pneumonia for, like, the last... 10 years
to
of
sound
his
like
life.
That
yeah
hmm.
Too soon.
I don't know.
I don't even remember when he died. I know he's dead.
I don't
but
know
when. I don't know
he's dead. Okay, I didn't even know that.
You didn't know Barry White was dead?
Well,
you
I mean,
didn't
I...
sense it. You didn't feel a drop in the planet-wide mojo.
No,
like when that happened.
No, I did not. But as you could probably I have no bead on the planet-wide mojo, as you,
like,
probably have seen.
I guess he could get enough of your love, babe. That's horrible, Barry. Wherever you are, I'm sorry. I love you.
And
I've never actually fucked to your music, but I always wanted to, and I still may later, but not right now. Anyway.
We should rename this "Too Much Information." From the
it's a podcast, man. This is what you do. Podcasts are all about telling people things you never should have that they never asked for.
Well, then that's
it's
perfect
kinda,
for you.
It's like Live Journal. It's like Live Journal in the same way. I always love the concept of, like, I'm gonna keep a diary about my most personal, intimate things. By the way, I'm gonna stick it on the internet. Oh God, and. I literally know friends who are going to listen to this who do Live Journal, and they're going to be pissed and say, not all Live Journal people are crazy, okay? I just think it's a funny concept.
It is, actually.
My diary in public. Anyway, we're getting near an hour, so I kind of wanted to wrap up. and I wanted to ask you, William, unlike me, does things. So I want to know, William, do you have anything you want to plug that's going on right now? I hear you're in a film. No, but I mean, like, William.
Oh, my God.
William.
I didn't even think of that.
You seriously?
Yeah, which is why I'm not very successful.
Which is why you're not successful. William has published 2 novels.
Wow.
And he's only sold 5 copies
of each. No, come on.
Because he's only told 5 people about them.
That's not true. I've sold more than that.
William, okay, talk about your novels.
Oh, well, I published them actually under a pseudonym, Clifton D. Clifton D. Hawk. So if you go out looking for them, that's the author you'll find them under. One is
Clifton
called...
D. Hawk. He's talking very fast. Clifton D. Hawk.
Sorry. And the first one is now, I mean, when I titled it originally, it was fine, but now it's quite unfortunately.
Oh, my God.
Twilightners. Now, it's no connection at all with the
novel. No, it came before Twilight.
And,
that's really unfortunate.
Yeah, and one day, there's the third novel I'm working on now. The second novel is called Harbingers, and I'm going to put them all together, make them one book, completely different title, and completely avoid this whole humiliating thing with having such an unfortunate title. But that's the pitch.
And I have read both of them, and they are good. They are
but not
good.
The third one, because it's not done yet.
No. They are good sci-fi fantasy stuff. I do highly recommend them. I bought them because somebody had to.
How very kind of you to say.
Yes. And I actually gave them to family members, and it is good stuff. So it's Lulu mostly, right? Or Amazon also.
Yeah, or Barnes & Noble. You can order it there.
Clifton D. Hawk, Twilightners, and Harbingers. Good books. Are you doing any film stuff right now?
Not at the moment, no.
Okay, so you're mostly...
But I can pitch that stuff when I am.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I'm helping my godson record music, so maybe when he has some of his music out there, I can pitch that too.
Yes, with microphones that are really poor for a podcast.
Yeah, not good for podcasts, but good for other things.
But now we're using the Snowball, which is awesome for a podcast, as you can tell.
And it's very cool looking. It looks so retro.
Yeah. Yes. And also, it has a setting that's omnidirectional, so theoretically, if we get other people in here, which I think is going to happen, then they'll actually be heard.
Well, that'll be neat. Yes, I see that.
Anyway, I have nothing to plug because I don't do things, but I did want to talk about a couple of things that I think are cool on the internet. And actually, I want to talk about 2 things that are the main inspiration for me doing this. So you could look at that as a good thing or a bad thing. The main one that just really has tripped me right now is the Nerdist podcast, Nerdist, and it's done by comedian Chris Hardwick, who is also a nerd and who you may know from the famous dating show in the 90s, Singled Out.
No.
Really? Nobody?
No.
What a shock. but anyway, he's a stand-up comedian now, and he has a site called Nerdist.com, and it's a cool site. But he also has a podcast that's very cool, and it's kind of like this, but instead of me, it's a professional comedian, and instead of William, it's like his neighbors in Hollywood who are awesome people like Tom Lennon and Weird Al Yankovic and John Hamm from Mad Men and Drew Carey and stuff like this. So it's like this, but with talent and interesting things. And he talks a lot about comedy, and he talks a lot about the process of being a comedian and a performer and things. And it's very interesting, and I like it a lot. And it's also hilarious and filthy. So it's fun, but I do highly recommend it. And then the other one is a podcast about role-playing games called Happy Jacks RPG Podcast. You can find that at happyjacks.org, or you can find that on iTunes under Happy Jacks RPG Podcast. Excuse me, lady. Can we help you?
She just walked right in here like she owns the place. Oh, I think I made a cough. That's bad. Sorry.
That was my wife who's refusing to speak on the podcast.
Do we have time to thank our listeners who wrote in?
I'm not done yet.
Oh, but make sure you leave time to thank our listeners.
Happy Jack's RPG Podcast. That's where I know Useless Trivia Man from. And it's basically some guys who, when they were younger, played RPGs like a lot of nerds did, and then went on and grew up and got jobs and got married and got kids. And most of whom started a weird Ren Fair band called the Poxy Boggards, who are awesome, by the way, who do like body music and stuff. And then recently, just for like the hell of it, got back into RPGs. And so now they do this really awesome podcast where they talk about role-playing games and how to GM and how to play and how to get into it and reviews of different games. And it's very cool. It's very informal. It's also very funny. And I love it. And it's really done a lot for me, I think, to improve my ability. I'm now running a game again, and I think I do it much better now because of the stuff I learned on the show. And it's just a great thing and a great sort of community online. And that's where I know Useless Trivia Man from. He's on the forums for that podcast as well. And he actually lives like an hour away. He lives in the Quad Cities.
Oh.
But the podcast, the people on the podcast are based out of LA. Well, the LA area, I think, is like Pasadena. So check that out. Happy Jacks RPG podcast. Go to happyjacks.org. Or the Nerdist podcast. Go to thenerdist.com. And those are both cool. Okay, so you want to thank
who? I want to thank Tony's wife. Jen.
That's really creepy when you say that. Well, I want to thank Tony's wife. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
They didn't see the wink, wink. Why did you have to tell them about that? And
I
want Jen, to
thank your mom. Wait, no, no, no.
And Jen and Useless Trivia Man. And for your trouble, you will be getting a complimentary, nothing.
Yeah, no. Someday we're going to pay people to listen to this.
Like a t-shirt or something.
Yet. Well, because like, there's a lot of free ones out there that are way better than this, so I figure to get them to listen to worse content, we'll pay them, but we're still going to work that out. Also, please, if you are listening, you, that one guy, write the hat with topics and questions and things for us to talk about, because if we run out of those, we're going to have nothing to talk about. So please email...
I don't think any of our friends would think that you or I are ever going to run out of things
to talk about. No.
From the hat.
Yes, from that.
Sorry, everyone.
Then the entire point of this pointless podcast goes away. So anyway, no, I do. But seriously, I do. There's sort of an experiment going on here. I wanted it to be listener-driven content and see what happens.
Yes, that's right. And that's important.
So email the hat at themagicalhat@gmail.com. Oh, shit. No, don't email there. There's an evil white supremacist at that address. So don't do that. The magical talking hat at gmail.com.
Right.
Nobody's ever going to listen to my podcast.
I'm sorry. You can blame me. That's fine.
I intend to.
Okay.
Yeah, so the magical talking hat. @gmail.com. Please email there with things to talk about, and hopefully we will be back next week and do this again.
We will.
Okay, so we also need a closer, like a tagline at the end.
Yeah, we don't have any bumper for
closing. I think the one I want to go with right now is please disregard the last hour.
But email the hat anyway.
Yes, but yeah, except for that part.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.